Thank you very much, choir, for that, those items you brought us. Challenging word as well as good music. We can turn to Philippians. We should be finishing off this morning in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we said that Christ is our strength. And because he's our strength, we can care for each other. We've looked so far at verses 1. The basis of caring is standing fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. We looked at verse 2 and 3 and said the outcome of caring is always peace. It is always peace. When we care for each other and when there's a caring church, there's a church that lives at peace with itself. I think we looked at verse 4 and 5, and I'm not quite sure where we are, but I'll tell you, George will tell me. On to verse 6. In verse 5, we said when Christ is our strength, it will be seen and experienced by others. We will have to tell each other that we're caring for one another. A caring church is not one that's got a good advertising program. We don't have to advertise that we care for each other. It's going to be felt. Then in verse 6, when Christ is our strength, we'll care for each other. And it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The word there for be careful for nothing is the word anxious. And what Paul is trying to say is, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. Don't be troubled. Don't be frustrated. When a church desires to begin caring in the strength of Christ, it's going to take us into areas of people's lives and areas of commitment where we've never been before. And the sooner there could come upon our hearts anxiety as we want to reach out unto others, and we could become so anxious that we take our anxieties upon ourselves, and we begin to lose that sense of peace and of understanding that we have, that the Lord is with us to encourage us on. So Paul's saying when we care for each other, don't get anxious or troubled. If you're caring for each other, don't get anxious when your care is not accepted. Don't get anxious when you've done all you can and nothing seems to change. Don't take your troubles home with you. Now, we all do that. We all take our work home with us to some extent, don't we? In the secular sense of the word. You've been in bed at night, and you've worked out many problems of how you're going to solve this and how you're going to solve that. Sometimes you've worked harder at night than you have in the day, because you've taken your cares with you and you've taken your cares upon you, and you've become anxious about the situation. You want to see something resolved, so you become anxious about the whole thing, and you take it with you, and you spend so much energy with your anxiety. Now, Peter gives us an answer to that. We won't turn to it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And we can care for each other without being anxious, without being troubled, without being frustrated, without having to say, now I'm going to care for you, so you've got to respond because I'm caring. Caring has got nothing to do with response. It's got everything to do with the person who's caring. So Paul now says, when you are caring for each other, be careful for nothing. Don't get anxious about the situation. Don't get troubled about the circumstances. Don't get frustrated about the people you'll find that you have to care for. We've said it before, and you said it, and I know I've said it. We want to care for somebody, and we've done all we can, and suddenly they turn around and do the same thing again. What's the response of our heart? Oh, They've done it again. I've told them about that a million times. I've tried to help them all I can. What more do I have to do? Well, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be frustrated or troubled. Because Paul in verse 6 says, don't be careful or anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Though God would desire of us as we care for each other, is that we begin to pray in circumstances and situations, that we make our requests known to God, that we're faithful to care and faithful to pray. Now, those two go together. Caring is faithful to be concerned and faithful to pray. Don't just pray. Don't just pray for people. A caring church is one where people say, we're going to get involved, but we're not going to let the situation get on top of us. We're not going to be troubled by it. We're not going to be anxious in it. All we're going to do is get involved and pray. And in verse 6, Paul begins to bring out this very thing. The caring for a church is caring for each other in the church is where we don't become troubled or anxious over the situation. In verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Why does Paul put peace in here? We've already had peace in verse 3, where we said that when we care for each other, it always brings peace. A caring church brings peace to the heart of the people. Now, why did he put peace again in here? Because this is the peace which is to be experienced in those who care for the church. It's to be their peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. In verse 7, it's a peace that will be experienced by those who are caring, that God will keep their heart and their mind. I believe so often in the church people give up. I believe that we make an effort and then we throw in the towel. Verse 6 becomes an unreality in the sense that we take our anxieties upon us, others' anxieties upon us, and then verse 7 is not the outcome of our lives. Because instead of having peace, we're in turmoil. Now, Paul says, the peace of God. If we're going to be caring people, then the peace of God has got to be the experience of our hearts and minds. You see, caring for others is not always having a confrontation with them. We don't always have to tell each other how bad we are. We probably know that without others telling us. Caring for others isn't always straightening them out. It's not always saying, man, you know, I'm coming, I want to care for you, you've done this wrong. It's not always telling wrongs or straightening out or having confrontations. Caring for others is the giving of ourselves. It's encouraging. It's uplifting. It's building up. It's saying, hey, this is what Christ can do for you. This is what Christ has done for me. We're in it together, and God wants us to encourage each other. And as we encourage, and as we upbuild and uplift one another, then the peace of God will abide in our hearts. That's the overriding rule which should be in our hearts when we care for each other. We don't care for one another because we want to see somebody else take the same viewpoint as me, or to come to the same position of doctrine that I mean. We care because we're in the body and because we want to share with others what Christ can do for them. Then in verse 8, he says, caring involves the mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are pure and whatsoever things are lovely and whatsoever things are of any, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He lists all those things, and I think we can list them together under three categories there. In verse 8, in verse 3 categories. Caring, when we care for each other, it involves our minds. Paul now tells the Philippians that when Christ is our strength, then our minds will be involved in caring for each other. And he lists all that, those lists there in verse 8, and we'll put them in three categories. First of all, he says, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. True and honest things. When we care for each other, our words have to be right. The words we use to each other have to be right. When we think on true and honest things, then the words that we use to each other will be right. When we think on true and honest things about the Word of God, and all that the Word of God says as it applies to my heart, when we care for each other, we're going to be saying true and honest things. We're going to have right words. Words that will be encouragement. Words that will be a blessing. Words that will be a challenge. Words that will eat into people's hearts and melt them so that they'll surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Words that will be a benefit and blessing. So now Paul, first of all, says, and whatsoever things are true and honest, think on those things so that what's in your mind might come out of your mouth. What's in your mind might affect someone's heart because you're saying the right things. If we don't think on whatsoever things are true and honest, we'll say wrong things about each other. We become critical and we criticize. We become nitpickers. We become people that instead of upbuilding and uplifting each other, we spend more time criticizing each other. We spend more time pulling one another down. We produce this critical attitude of the rest of the body. You know, I'll give you an area of this, and I'll give you two areas. The first area is, you know what we always, most of our testimonies, we will say, I never heard the gospel till I got saved. No one ever told me the gospel until I got saved. So we say, if only I'd have heard the gospel years before I got saved. I tell you this, be careful. You might have heard the gospel and never listened to it. You can't really say that you never heard the gospel. You don't really know. People might have been preaching the gospel and your ears might have been full with your fingers. You didn't want to respond. And isn't that the same with the church? When we start thinking things that aren't honest and pure, we think wrong things about people, so what comes out of our mouths wrong? We say of people, man, that person's closed. They're not open to truth. They don't want change. Hey, that's thinking wrong things, so what's going to come out of your mouth isn't going to be an encouragement. How can we encourage someone if we're thinking critical, negative things about each other? I think what Paul's saying, hey, caring takes into our mind. Think on whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are honest and pure, that the things that come out of our mouth might be a blessing to other people, might be a benefit to other people. Then he says, think on whatsoever things are just and pure. Just and pure. Now he's dealing with our attitudes. He's dealing with the attitude. He's dealt with the mind so that our tongue can be effective. Now he deals with our mind so that our attitudes can be effective when we think on things that are just and pure. And I'll tell you this, in my life, and I know it's in all our lives, we tend to be more critical and hard and expect more from other people than we do of ourselves. We can't understand why people don't commit their lives to Christ and follow him the way they should, yet in our own hearts, we've got areas where we're not committed. And when we start to care for each other, we're trying to say to people, this is the goal that you're supposed to aim at, but I'm down here. This is where you're supposed to get, but I'm staying here. And we become in our attitude such that we become overbearing, in the sense that we're expecting people to go somewhere where we ourselves haven't yet ventured and have reached and have gone. Think on these things that you might have justice, that they might think on the things that are just and pure. And I like the word just. It's a good word, that. It's a word, I think, that betrays to our own hearts that as God has dealt with us, so let's deal with each other. I'll give you a gospel story. Remember the unjust servant who was forgiven all his money? He was forgiven his debt. And what was the first thing he went and did? He went and got a guy that owed him next to nothing and said, until you've paid off this little debt, you're going to be in prison. And he'd just been forgiven all that great amount of money. And I think that's what the word just is. And when we deal with each other, we're oftentimes not just. We're not just. If you want another word, we're not fair. So Paul says, now think on these things that are just and pure, that your attitudes might be right. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely and of good report. There's our action. Our mind has to think on things that are lovely and of good report. There's to be our action. If our words are to be right and our attitudes are to be right and our actions are to be right, we're to think on these things. Our actions one to another. Thinking on lovely and good report. What do you like to hear about one another? What is it that kind of like excites us the most? It's the juicy negative bits, isn't it? It's the bits that are really not beneficial to us. Oftentimes I'll say in class that if I give the students a piece of paper and ask them to write some good and positive things about themselves, they'd have a hard time. Because I think we all would have a hard time if we had to sit down and write some good and positive things about our lives. But I wonder what we'd do this morning if we were to go home and at lunchtime sit down and say, what can we write about every person in our fellowship? Some good and positive things about people that we fellowship with. And I trust we wouldn't have a hard time, but lunch might be a little longer than usual today. Because our flesh dwells on the negative. It dwells on the things that are not good and are not positive. Now Paul says, hey, a caring church is one where the brethren in the church have their minds. Use their minds that their words might be right, that their actions might be right, that their attitudes might be right. Paul then has given us the outcome and the actions of caring. Caring affects other people, not in the sense that we are overbearing or that we try to do for others what they should be doing for themselves. It affects us as we care. It brings peace. It brings harmony. It helps us to stand. But in verse 9, Paul now turns his attention from those who are doing from those who were to care for, to us who are doing the caring. All up to verse 8 is for those we care for. Now from verse 8 is us who are doing the caring. And if we're to care for others, then we must care for ourselves. Now that's a scriptural teaching. If we are to care for others, we must care for ourselves. Let me give you two other scriptures that bring that up. The first scripture is, you'll find it three times in the Gospel, twice in the Epistles. It says, we are to love our neighbor. Now that's caring for our neighbor, isn't it? Right? We're to love our neighbor. We're to care for our neighbor. And then it goes on to say, every time, we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. As we care for our neighbor, we can only do it to the extent we've cared for ourselves. Then in Ephesians, it says exactly the same thing. It says husbands are to love their own wives in Ephesians chapter 5. Now that's a very good exhortation, isn't it? For the husband is to love his own wife. So ought men to love their wives, but it doesn't stop there. It says as their own body. Men are to love their wives as their own body. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we are to care for others as we've cared for ourselves. Now in verse 9, to the end of the chapter, Paul gives us some things of how we care for ourselves. How do we care for ourselves? Verse 9, we care for ourselves by responding to the things that God has taught us. We care for ourselves by responding to the things that God has taught us. The truth that God has laid on our hearts of the sufficiency of Christ. Listen to what he says. These things which ye have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul saying, the things that you saw me do, the things that you heard me say, the things that you received as my teaching, the things that you've learned in your hearts, respond to them, do them. And as we see, and as we learn, and as God teaches us in the body, we are to respond. We care for ourselves by responding to the things that we've seen and heard and received and learned from the Word of God, from godly teaching, from the exhortation of other believers in the body, from the examples of godly lives, the things that we see, the things that we hear, and the things that we learn. We're to do them, respond to them. I think sometimes we think caring for ourselves is making sure that we've done so many hours and now we can have a rest. That we've done our Sunday school work, then we can have a rest. We've done our youth work, then we can have a rest. We've been this in the church for so many years, then we can have a rest. I think caring for us is making sure that we respond to the truth that God lays on our hearts. Why? Because that's going to help our inner man. It's going to establish us. It's going to set our feet on right and solid ground. And the things that we see and the things that we hear and the things that we receive, that we're to do. Now today I think when we talk about teaching, the Word of God, it's come to the area where teaching is something that we take into our minds. And if you want to do something other than take it into your mind, and you want to believe it and live it, you become, what's the word, a fanatic. If you want to start living the Word of God, you're a fanatic. If you want to start living what God's Word says, we've become a fanatic. And yet, really, Paul's saying, you know, if you care for yourself, you'd really start to respond to the things that God is teaching you. Now, let me put it like this, ladies. How many of you have come to church this morning and you haven't washed your hair in a week? Don't put your hand up, because I know there's none of you. And how many of you have let your husband wear the same pair of socks for 2 weeks? Well, I know, because the aroma in our building this morning is not that sour, that you wouldn't let your husband get away with that. Now, I know with my children that I have to remind them from time to time that they need to change their socks or make sure that they've had a shower again today, because my children get involved in things that they get involved in, and they forget that showering is a part of life just as much as eating is. We care for ourselves. Now, I'm looking down at our congregation and I can see people, men have had a shave this morning. We've all come. Now, I know this, that we spend time. Why? Because we care for ourselves. We've put on a clean shirt. We made sure our wives, or the men that haven't got wives, had to wash their own shirt. Because we cared for ourselves. And as we deteriorate in our body, some of us have to paint them up so our ladies put makeup on their face, because we care for ourselves. And whatever it is, we care for ourselves, so we do that which is beneficial. Isn't it strange? When it comes to following the Lord Jesus Christ, and he lays a truth on our hearts, and we know it's a truth, we put it off. Then we come to church and try and help other people. And all the time God's saying, hey, will you start caring for yourself? Will you start looking after yourself? Will you start living this truth that I'm laying on your heart? Will you start believing it? Will you start operating this in your life? And all the time we say, well, that's good, Lord. Give me some more. Give me some more. I'll write it down in my book. I'll keep it in my mind. Or what usually happens is, man, as soon as I see that guy, I'll tell him this. I'll tell him this, he needs to know this, instead of saying, Lord, here am I want to care for myself.
I want to care for my life in such a way that I want to respond to all the truths that you're laying on my heart. If we're to care for others, we've got to start caring for ourselves. Now, God, through the Holy Spirit, lays truths and reality on our lives. He asks that we care for ourselves by doing the things that He's laid on our hearts, that we respond to the truth that He has laid upon our hearts. And I believe that this morning is the need of every one of our hearts. I have to learn to respond to the things that God's doing for me. And you know when I respond? When man's taking all the pressure out of living. Because I'm doing what God asked me to do. And when I respond, I find, man, you know, there isn't all that much pressure. Because God's always right, and His plans are always true. And His precepts and His principles are always effective. If I care for myself, then am I going to be effective in caring for others? I think I'm going to leave it this morning because our time is well and truly gone. With that challenge in our hearts that God desires that we might learn to care for ourselves, because I believe God wants us to begin to care for others. And as we care for others, we're able to care and be a blessing and a challenge to the people that we come in contact with. Can't think of a better hymn this morning or a better chorus than we've got in number 91 to close with. Number 91, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's stand and sing this through twice.